and I also have the sometimes stressful honour of being an ordinand at Ridley Hall in Cambridge. I'm training to be a priest, which is very exciting. But after those readings, I think we should pray. Loving God, thank you for those readings, I think. Thank you for Luke and for Paul, who spent time writing down things that we can still read today. Please take my thoughts and what I've prepared and speak through it. May this not be my message, but yours, loving God. In your holy name, amen. Amen. So we've just seen Mary Poppins measure Jane and Michael. And if you remember, Michael's measurement is that he is extremely stubborn and suspicious. And Jane's is that she is rather inclined to giggle and doesn't put things away. Whereas Mary Poppins, of course, hers is that she is practically perfect. And I've already asked, I wonder what your measurement would be. If Mary Poppins was to get out her tape measure and measure you from top to bottom, the other way, what, I know my directions, it's fine. What would the tape measure read? What would it say? It might be something really nice and positive. You bet, oh, I like that measurement. Or perhaps it wouldn't be. And the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to focus on the barren fig tree at the end of the parable, if you'll allow me to perhaps neglect the other parts of the readings today. Maybe at another time we could have a chat about those. But I thought we'd focus on the parable of the barren fig tree. And because one way we can see this parable is that we could see God as the owner of that fig tree. The owner who has come to have a look at this fig tree, or an apple tree, as the message puts it, because perhaps figs are a bit complicated, who's come to the vineyard where this fig tree is planted and wants to have a look at the tree and to see what has happened. And we read that for the third year running, the owner has come and the tree has once again not produced any fruit. Oh, it's a bit sad for the fig tree, really. And the owner is like, well, it's time that we got rid of it. But then the gardener steps in and saves it. And it's like, no, no, don't worry. I think with a bit of manure, a bit of dung, apparently, I was told one translation puts it this morning, it'll happen. Maybe it'll grow. Let's give it one more chance. And God can be that owner because God can see where we are fruitful and perhaps where we're not fruitful. And this parable definitely focuses on where we're not fruitful. But I think let's pause for a moment and give ourselves a little pat on the back for perhaps where we are fruitful. There might be things, actually, that we think we do quite all right. And when we say fruitful, let's clarify what we mean, because that can be a bit kind of like an analogous or a bit kind of ethereal. Oh, I'm a very fruitful person. But Paul, elsewhere in his reading, in his writings, writes that fruitful can be love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Had to write them down, because I always forget one. That is what being a fruitful person looks like. Or perhaps we could take Jesus' words, and that being fruitful might be that we really love God, we really love ourselves, and we really love other people, that we hold all those three things in balance. So there might be times when actually we're quite fruitful. The thing about God being the owner of this tree is that God also sees where we're not very fruitful, and it's Lent. And that is a time of kind of looking at ourselves. And that is why we have these lectionary readings today. So where are you not fruitful? And that's a really hard thing to think about. Where am I not perhaps being wholly joyful in the things I'm doing? Or bringing peace to situations I'm in? Or not being particularly loving? About a week or two ago, I wasn't feeling particularly any of those things. In fact, I was being a bit sarky, a bit, not bitter, but a bit like not bothered by anything, a bit like actually the light had gone out. And then I realized something I hadn't done in a little while, which was take a day off. And that is a really important thing. And this is where I think the manure comes in. What manure do you need putting on you? And that sounds gross, and it is. But the good thing about that is God, as the gardener, is willing to get down into our dirty places and kind of put more dirt on us, which is a good dirt. Life comes from dirt in Genesis 2. That's a good thing. And to help us grow and to help us produce fruit. And I realized that the manure I needed was a day off. And if a day off is good enough for God, we read it in the end of Genesis 1, that the people who wrote Genesis 1, as they imagined God creating the world, they thought, oh, God's just created the whole cosmos in 6 days, and I think day 7, God's going to need to maybe like a mojito, a hammock, a crossword, a podcast. God's going to need to chill out and relax. And if God needs to do that, or the people thought God needs to do that, we probably do too. So I learned in the last few weeks what my manure is, that actually sometimes I really need to have a day off. Because when I don't take a day off and I don't rest, I don't commit to my Sabbath, I can be a bit nasty and a bit angry and definitely very hangry when I'm hungry and angry. I'm a bit grumpy and probably not a very nice person to work with. But it was a really good thing because I had 3 days off. It's quite a little treat. Went to college for 2 days. And then Saturday morning, the first thing I did again was we had a Christchurch prayer breakfast yesterday morning. And I was really excited about it. And people came and we chatted together. We ate pastry and we drank coffee and we caught up with one another. And we prayed about Christchurch and all the wonderful things that we hope will happen in the future. And that was really exciting. And I loved every moment of it. And I was like, yes, my passion for what I'm doing has returned. This is really exciting. And it made me think about not a personal fruitfulness time, but like a corporate fruitfulness time. When there was a time at Christchurch where for a term, we didn't gather for prayer breakfasts. And I found it one of the trickiest times in Christchurch's life so far in the 3 and a bit years we've been together. It just didn't feel like anything was going right. It felt like we were trying to move through treacle. I've talked about it before, but it just felt like we weren't going anywhere. And because we'd forgotten to manure ourselves, we'd forgotten to do that spiritual discipline of just talking to God. So my questions this morning are, where are you being fruitful? Great. Pat on the back. Because I'm sure there are areas and things you're doing really well. And that when God sees you doing those things or having those practices, God's heart smiles at you and is like, yeah, well done. Because we're not all awful. We're not all completely barren fig trees. I'm sure there are bits of us that are flourishing and are growing fruit. And well done. Great job. But God also sees those bits where we're not being fruitful. And sometimes we can't see them ourselves. And so a simple prayer can be, God, show me where I'm not being fruitful. Show me actually where I need to dig a little deeper, to manure myself, to go deeper into your roots. And that is quite challenging. And that can be quite painful at times or quite hard. But the good thing is that we have God the gardener who is willing to like kneel down. I don't know if God the gardener uses a kneeling mat. I don't know what state God's knees are in. But like, you know, to really get there with the hands right into the dirt and to manure, I guess you manure the bit above soil. I don't really know. I'm learning about gardening. Claire, above the soil? You mix it in. Great, I'm learning. But like, God is willing to get right in there, into the dirt, put that manure in to give us the best hope. And not just that, but then God's going to add water and sunlight and try and give us the best hope so that we can grow. Because God does not give up on us. God goes, you know what, let's give it another year. There's more chance in this. And what I love about this parable is that there is no conclusion. It's kind of left open. There's no, and in a year's time, the owner came back. I guess that's where we come in. Are we going to let ourselves be manured? But are we going to give ourselves over to God and say, God, show me where I'm fruitful, show me where I'm not, and then help me in those places? And that's where the Spirit comes in. And we just open ourselves up to say, Holy Spirit, move in my life each and every day. Challenge me, grow me, sustain me as I walk with you. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you that you see the things we do and sometimes they really make you smile. Thank you. Let's celebrate those things. But we're sorry for those times when perhaps we've neglected things, perhaps our spiritual disciplines of maybe prayer, of maybe reading the Bible, of being kind to others have gone amiss. And we're sorry. And we ask you to challenge us in those things. And then, loving good God, may you manure us. Help us grow. Help us grow new fruit. Help replenish old fruit. I don't know if that works. You know, God, you know what I'm talking about. But may we be manured by you today and every day this week. May we be willing to give ourselves over to you, to be changed and to be grown. In your name, amen. Amen.